From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. $500 a month, guaranteed income. Socialism came to King County and it ruined everybody. And nobody succeeded, right? I didn't read the story, Spike. I just assumed that. Because this is what we get with universal basic income. It's not like they collected mountains of data, which would challenge my presuppositions about what it means to give poor people free money, right?
Right.
Socialism, I hate it.
How do you want me to break this to you?
Don't even get me started. Let me live in my fantasy world.
Fair enough.
Homelessness is on the rise. The Supreme Court's going to weigh bans on sleeping outdoors. That is going to be a disaster if they go one way with it, because the taxpayers are going to see a real big increase in the old local taxes if that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
And also, looks like a lot of people are going to be evicted coming up soon. Before we get to that, though, I did want to talk about this 18-year-old who was arrested and accused of terrorizing people enjoying a park, Lee Hill Park in Auburn.
Yeah.
We saw the social media. Sam Campbell showed us the social media post.
Horrific.
Yeah, but because I'm not trying to debate you on that. It was horrific to watch.
I hear you.
So a lot of people say, when we look at a video like that, we will say, well, that's, you know, criminal deviancy, and that's, you know, they moralize it. Do you know what I mean? They look at something like that and they say, that's just they try to make it something other than what we're actually looking at when we see that kind of footage from a kid at that developmental stage. And I think it's important that we talk about this in the right way, so you know what to do with that kid who should be in locked up, right? But the question is how we solve this problem.
Okay, good.
So you watch this piece of footage, and what you see is somebody in a stolen Kia drive into the park. They go right through the fence, right over the concrete abutment, and then they basically make a beeline right for a couple of kids, and then they hit somebody. And there's a guy there who's filming it, and he says, I don't know what to do, which makes a lot of sense, because what are you supposed to do? It's not like he can go up to the car and lift it up like Superman.
Yeah, to witness this, you're dumbfounded.
Right. And so my assessment of this would be, and I would encourage other people to look at this in the same way, is that when you see something like this, what you're looking at is someone who is suffering from antisocial personality disorder. What a personality disorder is, like, let's just say borderline personality disorder, these are what we call in the business cluster B type disorders.
Okay.
So that means that person has a persona of who they are, which covers the damaged and wounded person that they are inside. They've been traumatized to such a degree that they have created an external persona.
Right.
And that is someone who does not care about other human beings, mm-hmm. who thinks that it's funny to hurt other human beings, who thinks that it's hilarious to steal cars and try to hit kids with it. That's somebody who needs a lot of care. That's somebody who needs a lot of locked care in particular, probably decades worth. So you could take that person and you can put them in prison where they will likely get no health care whatsoever, no mental health care, and they will likely continue to perpetrate crimes on the people around them.
Right.
They will continue to victimize people around them. Or what you could do, which was the system that I would like to do, is you give that person however long of a sentence in locked care. Let's say it's a decade. Let's say it's 15 years. And then that person gets the mental health care that they need so that by the time they come out, they are presumably less likely to steal a car and try to hit kids with it.
Hopefully healed, if not cured.
Healed,
right? Because we're talking about a health situation at that point. Let me ask you this. What element of this cluster B psychosis we're talking about is fueled?
Yeah.
By social media and the social media following of the Kia boys, per se, or Hellcat, for example, right?
Yeah, so that's such a great question, Spike, because it starts with bad mom, bad dad,
right?
Because often what you have someone who's been so brutally traumatized by mom and by dad that they have to develop this external persona, which is impervious to pain. So you have to think about it like this persona is the literal embodiment of all of their abuse or whatever it is. And then they see on social media all of these deviant actions, and it's the only thing that makes them feel anything. And isn't that so sad, right?
Yeah.
So this isn't some moral question. We're not dealing with somebody who is just, well, they're just a bad egg. That's not the way that this works. This is somebody who is suffering, and now they are choosing to impose their suffering on other people.
This is a broken egg, and somebody broke this egg. seriously, I mean, sometimes you say kids who were abused and were neglected. Sometimes it's just neglect.
Yeah, neglect is a bigger,
And these people get a following on social media. You know, I hate to keep going back to Hellcat and with regard to the Kia boys, but I think that's the same issue on both hands. This guy's got 700,000 followers. He's finally got the recognition, admiration, acknowledgement that he never got in his life.
Think about love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Nurturing, support, love.
Right.
That's a great word to encompass all of it. So is it on social media platforms to not allow this kind of thing to have a home?
They have the rules against it, but people,
they're still there.
Well, but the kid who was driving his Kia into that wasn't him filming. That was somebody else filming it.
But they're Kia boys. We know they're the Kia boys because they have a social media following, call themselves Kia boys.
So you can't think about how much content goes up on Instagram or there are billions of videos that are uploaded to YouTube every single day.
So it's too big a problem.
And so you then have to have robots, the algorithm, go through it, and you have to rely on self-policing. So, and then if your account gets taken down, what do you do? Well, you just make a new one.
Create a new account.
So it's very, very sad, but there is a way to solve this problem. It just takes a lot more courage from our elected officials to decide what they're going to do with someone who's that mentally ill. Speaking of, by the way, King County had this $500 a month guaranteed income program. And I am suspecting, based on my biases, that it didn't work and all these people failed and they just went out and they spent it on drugs and Dick's Drive-In, right? They didn't spend it on anything whatsoever, right, Spike? Oh, I mean, you read the story.
I did.
I'm playing the part of the biased, stuffy conservative. They wasted this money on shoes and on clothes.
On the lazy people who don't want to take care of themselves. And why should I have to take care of other people for their shortcomings? I think people who feel that way would be surprised to know that of the people who got this $500 a month, right, they were low-income people. Of the 100 people who – it was just 100 people. It was a test pilot program in King County. It lasted for 10 months.
Yeah.
Okay? 88% of those people were people of color with an average age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
From the number of people who were employed – at the start of this program till the end of this 10-month, that's just $500 a month of guaranteed income.
Mm-hmm.
The number of employed people went from 37% to 66%. Folks were able to actually pay their bills, have a stable place to be, maybe keep their car on the road.
Child care,
and get a job and get income.
So the cool part about this program, I'm going to drop the facade of saying that I didn't read it, but cool. The cool part about this program is that these people had to check in with somebody every month to talk about their progress. Now, it wasn't mandated for the money, meaning that they had to progress in order to get the money. It was just the idea that they were talking to somebody about their progress.
Yep.
And that resulted in something like an 88% turnout in positive incomes from this group of people. The money, by the way, I believe it was donated. Like, it wasn't even state money. This was just a pilot program to see if this could work from a large charitable donation. When I think about UBI or universal basic income, I know a lot of people instantly go, socialism, free money, blah, 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 and they freak out about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thought about it, though, is that when I was desperately poor and when I was on welfare and when I was on food stamps and when I was on disability and when I was on general assistance, that made it so that I could continue going to community college, right?
Right.
That made it so that I could have my awful, one bedroom in this two-bedroom apartment, and that, you know, I
it kept was, you off the streets.
Imagine this. My apartment was in such a bad neighborhood. My room was $400 a month to rent. It was in such a bad neighborhood, but it kept me indoors. It kept me off the streets. So when I think about these programs, for as much as people might push back again, oh, we're giving away free money, when I look at how the money was actually spent, you're talking about utility bills, gas, daycare. You're not talking about people who are going out and buying a pair of sneakers, a PlayStation 5
bottle
or whatever.
Of booze, whatever it might be. You know, people who had put money away every month, right? Went from when it started, of the 100 people involved in this program, 0% had any savings at all.
Yeah.
After 10 months, 42% of them had some savings. We're talking about being able to cover an emergency bill, an emergency expense.
Right.
Right. 38% of them were able to pay their bills on a regular basis, not worry about having their electricity or their water cut off, so they can care for their families. I mean, and this is preventive maintenance in my mind.
Yeah, it is.
That's how I see it.
We don't. This is going to really. People are going to really hate me for this take, Laura. Are you ready for this? People are going to despise me for this
take.
I'm
ready. I got the text line open.
You ready for this? Because it's going to be really bad. I am okay paying more in taxes if it goes to poor people. I'm fine with it. I have no issue with it whatsoever, right?
By poor people, you mean government contracted weapons manufacturers,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. Oh, the poor megacorporations.
Those poor megacorps.
I am what people would call a populist in terms of political theory, in which I believe that the nation state, forget about it. The you know, megacorporations, forget about it. The people who live here, great, let's give them
let's
money.
Help them.
I don't like this atmosphere that we've kind of invented in the United States, where we turn a blind eye to mega corporations getting huge subsidies, huge bailouts, whatever it might be. And then when somebody at the 200% below the poverty line is given $500 a month, we go, socialism, I won't have it. Like, there is a real sickness in this country where we think all taxation is bad, which is partially true because it goes to the wrong places. So if we could redirect that so that it actually went to citizens of this fine country so that they could get a little bit of relief, I am totally fine with it. And if people hate me as a result of that, I'll say it again. Please, if you want to tax me, if you're going to take my money under threat of violence, at least give it to somebody who's 200% below the poverty line. And if that makes me a bad person, I will wear that moniker all day long. If that makes me a shill for the government or whatever, I will wear that hat all day long. Because I don't, to me, it's like, look at the data. Gas, childcare.
Yep.
Yeah, please take my money. I don't care. Please use it. Please use it to better
your life. If you think our tax dollars are going, if these people fall through the cracks of the system and are evicted and live on the streets, our money's going there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's better use for our tax dollars. This article in the Seattle Times, in Seattle, even the rich can't escape the high cost of poverty. All the numbers we had about the guaranteed income are in this article, but something else in this article by Naomi Ishisaka. Ishisaka, I want to get it right. The top one-fifth of Seattle earns 53% of the income in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom one-fifth of Seattle, right? The bottom 20% of earners earn 2% of Seattle's income. And you know, trust me when I tell you, if you're living well and you got a nice neighborhood, a nice home, if you're worried about crime, if you're worried about the homeless, you know, those that bottom fifth.
Worried about them coming into the suburbs.
You know, seriously, you know, if we don't care for the least among us, trust me, nobody's safe from this. And I don't mean to be dismissive of the needs of the, but you're not safe just because you turn a blind eye or an upturned nose.
Yeah, it's, well, that's what we've kind of done, right? It's crab in the bucket.
Yes.
As soon as I'm out of the bucket, hey, what do you
good
guys still,
there.
Hey, good luck in that bucket, you guys, I'm outside of the bucket. So with homelessness on the rise, the Supreme Court is going to weigh bans on sleeping outdoors. This has to do with an ordinance in Oregon that is now being challenged. And basically the way that it breaks down is that you've got Grants Pass, which is fining people $295 for sleeping outside to manage homeless encampments. Of course, if we go to people who are, you know, homeless, they're going to have money lying around. Of course they can do that's for sure a thing right. that they can pay a $295 ticket. Some people might be saying, well, it's just a deterrent. That's what it's designed to do. Okay, so let's say I rack up four or five of those bad boys, and then I get a bench warrant. But because I don't have an address, I can't be served said warrant. Do you know what I mean?
No
one. So, and then what happens is that I get arrested, let us just say. And now I'm not only am I facing charges for whatever I got arrested for, I now have a $1,000 fine that I can't pay or, you know, $1,200 mm-hmm. fine that I can't pay. And then all of a sudden I'm going to be going to jail for 30 days. Now that's just one homeless person. Let's multiply that by how many people are homeless in King County?
Oh,
12,000?
I think it's 14 was the latest
14,000 people. Let's just keep running that. Let's just, as taxpayers, let's just think about that for like 2 seconds. How fast you want to see all the jails and all the prisons fill up. And then here's the best part about that. Then they're all over capacity, 150% over capacity, 200% over capacity. And then all of a sudden you're going to get human rights groups coming in and they're going to sue the state and they're going to win for inhumane conditions. And then what you're going to get is taxpayers then paying criminals for the way that they were treated in a prison system, which the bureaucracy created in order to prevent people from sleeping outside. That's math that I don't think anybody wants to do.
Well, do you want to your point about where our tax dollars go? Do you want your tax dollars going to paying for the keep of income or inmates in a penal system, or do you want it going to maybe provide services
right, exactly.
for the community that
exactly.
can get this? Is this speaks to the no camping ban in Burien will be affected by this Supreme Court ruling, and the multiple in this state. This is where the federal government says you can't just kick people down the sidewalk to make it somebody else's problem. If this passes, but the Supreme Court gives Oregon the ability to fine people and ban camping. That we're screwed.
Do you remember the dollar amount for that young man who died in prison? And I think it was in Spokane.
The payout to the family?
The payout to the family. Do you remember what they got for his death because of the way that he was treated in that prison?
It was multiple millions.
It was $8 million.
$8 million.
That is one human being. Can you imagine how many accidental deaths, wrongful deaths would occur in a prison that is 200% at capacity? I mean, you're talking about literally kneecapping any coffers that the local government might have
right.
over this kind of ordinance, which is why I'm not advocating that people should be able to sleep outside. I'm saying don't do half measures and then expect the problem to go away. Because you're going to end up with an unbelievable amount of debt on your hands. I just don't, I think that people prefer the aesthetic of, I don't want to see it. I don't want it to be around.
I'm on that boat. I get it.
Sure.
I don't see it.
But then they don't think about the other 99% of how to fix the problem. Because I don't want to see it is what rabbits do. And they hide in corners when they don't want to see things. Yeah. Right?
So, well, like the ostriches I was referred to by our friend Frank Shires
exactly.
last week.
So the question is how do you solve it?
Go ahead. The case you brought up. Go ahead.
I was going to say the way that you solve it is through you have to have processing centers. We talked about this so many times on the show. Processing centers. Places for these people to go. Non-criminal interventions unless these people literally commit a crime, like a violent crime or something of that nature.
Well, we always keep saying those people living on the streets experiencing addiction or mental health crises two-thirds of the time. That's what's... And if you send these people right to jail where there is no service for mental health care, where there is not enough service for addiction care, you're talking about that case you brought up, the $8 million settlement, a thousandfold.
Yeah, you're talking about an unbelievable amount of money. My job would be easier if I didn't do all this research, Laura. I should just do MAGA Jack from now on. And then people would love me if I just was just MAGA
Jack.
Just
get mad. Get loud.
So if I just got loud and mad, right,
loud,
Laura?
Jack,
people
yeah.
clamor for MAGA Jack.
Because I just feel like it'd be better for me career-wise if I just... Because look at Tyrus.
Tyrus, the virus.
I've been thinking about that guy ever since I saw him on The Five.
Oh, yeah.
That guy doesn't know anything about politics. He doesn't know it. He's just a wrestler who thought, I could talk about Donald Trump, and now he's all over TV. If I just became MAGA Jack for, like, how long? I could retire happy. What, like 18 months?
At the most. I don't know if you have to go that long.
The rise of the remote husband is a thing that people have been talking about for quite some time. Laura, I believe, is thinking about wedding bells because we keep getting stories about moving in together, husbands, wives, things of that nature, right, Laura?
I hadn't noticed, but we have.
Laura, stay-at-home husband.
Yeah, there we go.
That sounds wonderful.
Let us talk about the remote husband when we get back right after this. What did I say that was so offensive to my leftist producer, Laura?
Or based.
I'm never going to get punched in the face. I've got a gun.
That's so funny.
Wow.
Those come out so fast. Man, Laura, you and Justin are Johnny on the spot with those. I appreciate it. So the remote husband is a new trend that has been documented by somebody who has too much time on their hands. There's a piece that was written about the amount of men that work from home versus women that work from home. Starts out talking about this woman. She's an obstetrician, which I imagine is someone who works with obelisks or something like
that. Obstinate people.
Obstinate obelisks. Yeah. How many different ways can we use the English language to understand what this woman does? But her husband is a crypto bro. And as we all know, crypto is indeed a Ponzi scheme. So she is married to somebody who is rolling in the dough of other people's misfortune. And it basically breaks down a series of stats about the amount of men working from home versus the amount of women working from home. Ultimately, it all boils down to patriarchy, something, something, something. Men get to work from home. Women have to go in, blah, 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 blah. I don't really care. Question is that is it an annoyance when you have to go to work and your significant other does not have to go to work? And are we not experiencing kind of new renaissance in the sense that men are now, statistically speaking, more likely to work from home remotely versus women and thus are more capable of doing some of the homebound tasks? I don't know. They're chores.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also in this article by The Economist, it says that people are living separately in various instances because, you know, of remote work. Somebody lives on, he lives on this coast, she lives on that coast. They're still married. They're remotely married.
Mm-hmm.
I think that first off is the key to happiness is visitations in a marriage as opposed to just full on small apartment in the city, not enough personal space for yourselves, survival of a marriage, early years of a marriage. I think it's great that people can be flexible in how they earn their money and how they formulate their relationship and their environment in a marriage. I think these are all good forward-thinking things.
I find this to be some weird underhanded dig at the patriarchy, Laura, which is why I think you picked it, because you want to infiltrate this show with leftism. If you actually read the subtext of the article, it's just it's just making fun of men the whole, like, just ripping into dudes the whole time. Why are you trying to,
Laura, not denying any
why
of
are you trying to undercut my fine radio program here with this leftist garbage? I mean, this is like, this is literally just trying to say, in so many words, resent your husband because he gets to work from home while you have to go work with obelisks all day long or whatever an obstetrician
does.
And then
come home and then do the laundry.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing, like, I don't understand why people lose their mind over men do this, women do that. I don't know if I'm just a weird genetic anomaly, like I'm the Blade of cishet dudes. Do you know what I mean?
The man from Venus.
How do you mean?
I'm like,
oh,
the
man from Venus.
Like,
I get it.
Yeah. Daywalker of heterosexual men, where I'm just like, I'll do the laundry, I'll do the dishes, I'll clean the floor. Like, I don't really understand what is a man's resistance to doing any of things, these things, and who is that man? I have yet to meet that guy who, Andrew, are you this guy who refuses to do laundry because that's women's work? Are you this guy, my friend?
Of course not.
Exactly. That's why you're still
you're
working.
A modern man. Modern
I have yet
man.
To yeah. meet the guy who's like, I don't do the dishes because I'm man. Man eat meat. Man hunt wolf. Man skin wolf and wear his headdress. Like, what is this weird, like, misandry
I know
that
I'm
seeing?
Guy. I know that guy.
Who's
I've
that
got a,
guy?
I've got a friend. I won't name him, but
Jeff?
He works. Nope, he works in the good memory.
Thank you.
He works in the trades.
Jeff.
He's a skilled union laborer.
Jeffrey?
It's not Jeff. It's his, Jeff is one of his brothers, though.
Okay.
Yeah, but this guy works a full-time trade job. He works hard labor work.
Okay.
And while his wife works too, he doesn't want to come home at the end of the day. If he's like, I'm not going to do that. I make blah 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 blah. I'm the reason we have this.
Okay,
house.
But
I'm
that's not a man. That's a child, right? When
I'm
you
just
get home,
you I know him.
When
I'm
you
not...
get home and you refuse to do whatever it is in the house that you don't want to do. That's what children do. That's not what adults do. Adults look at a big old pile of laundry and they go, I've got 2 seconds.
She's working
I can,
too.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I can throw something in.
I can pick up this basically weightless pile of garb and throw it into a machine that does, oh, I don't know, ballpark it, 90% of the labor for me. And then when it's done, I can take it out of said machine and put it into the other machine, which does the other 90% of labor for me by drying it. And it's so kind and convenient, it lets me know when it's done. What is this bizarro world that we live in? If you do dishes, what are you, some kind of... like, what is this narrative?
Now there's another machine in the kitchen that offers the same type of help.
Exactly,
it's
my
like
point.
The guy's got to get his hands wet even anymore.
Right. I air fry my food. All I have is robots that do everything for me in my life. Do you know what I mean? And there's this like weird sense of but again, I've never met this dude. But if this dude does exist... This person is not only a simpleton, they have to be a complete and total child to say, cook dinner? What do you mean? You want me to take stuff out of the fridge and put it into a robot to cook it? What am I, some kind of a slave? This is madness.
Is this an antiquated or a relic of a bygone era when there was a one-income family? Where the old man was a guy who went out there every day and then earned the bacon, you know, bring home the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife stayed at home and took care of the house, and took care of the kids and the laundry, shopping, cleaning, cooking, the whole nine.
Right.
But nowadays, everybody's a two-income family and they both go their separate ways. Is that where this point of view still manifests itself and comes from?
I don't really know.
It's got to be. I mean,
I just think that I know I like to rip on white women a lot, but now I'm going to rip on dudes for 2 seconds. This is like, if you are that guy... That is not in any way, shape, or form a signal. You know what the most masculine thing you can do is, other than choking out a bear? You pick up the dirty laundry and you put it into the robot that does it for you. You know what the most hardcore dude thing you can do is? Your duvet that's all askew in the morning.
Yeah.
Flip that thing over and straighten it out. Then you're a brawny
man
at that point.
Son.
You are macho man Randy Savage when you say to yourself, hey, you see that pile of dishes in the sink? I'm going to not even do it with the gloves on. I'm going to go barehanded into the sink using the Dove soap, and I'm going to clean it by hand because I'm a real man. What is this, like, bizarre? Oh, I'm a dude. I work with... Does Alex... Okay, well, sorry. Whoops. Does your boyfriend...
Her name is the truly unpleasant Melissa, Melissa O'Neill.
I'm so sorry. Laura, if you had a friend whose name was something that was... Would they...
super anonymous.
Super
yeah.
anonymous. Would they resist any temptation to help you with anything around the house?
No, I would not be dating that person.
Okay, perfect.
That random anonymous person.
I'm assuming that Fernando... doesn't do those things either, correct?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. It's a good Spaniard young man that he is.
Raised by a fine woman who had raised a real man to really send to
right.
the world.
Point being is that there is like, this is a double cringe for me. One, I've never met this dude who doesn't mm-hmm. want to do things around the house. But then two, if you're a lady and your husband is working remote, you should be on your knees thanking our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that your boyfriend has a job or that your husband has a job. You know how many women I talk to who have a jobless boyfriend? They hate it. They resent it.
Oh, seriously? The bar is in hell.
Exactly. Exactly.
There are women who will date guys without jobs.
Yeah, they're miserable. Yeah.
They would have self-inflicted wound.
Well, because women want to see a man making progress. And so if that jobless guy is going around and he's putting in resumes and he's trying to update his skill set and he's going to night school or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a different story.
That makes sense, yeah.
I'm talking about, like, the girl who lives down the hall from me. I told you about her. She's the one who's the moneymaker.
Yes,
and
yes,
she's got this deadbeat boyfriend who's a drug dealer. And every time he comes in looking, okay, he's got to be in his early 40s. He dresses like a hype beast who's 18 years old. You know, with the cat broke off, broke off.
Ugh.
He's wearing all the baggy clothes. And every time he comes in, all I hear from her is, go get a job. You don't have any money. No, I'm not DoorDashing any food to the apartment. She just screams at this guy. And I'm like, lady, you don't have to live the life with Doogie Howser over here.
Yeah.
You can go out and get yourself a nice man out there who actually treats you right and doesn't come back. Come in wearing, you know how like the 90s, they're bringing back the 90s sports jackets. Have you seen this?
Oh, no.
This guy's wearing
no.
like 90s supersonic sports jackets as he's yeah. walking in.
No.
And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, listen, we're both Reagan babies, my friend. Put on a tie every so often and get some form-fitting clothes and respect yourself. Stop dressing like you're 12.
Get out there and get an income, my friend.
All right.
I don't know how women do it.
We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, No Stupid Questions is my favorite segment of the day. Laura is making a face that is grimacing with pain. What is this, Laura? What is this pained look you're giving me?
Oh, the text line.
You found yourself a stupid line. Question?
What is it? Question?
There are no stupid questions.
Are they upset about me mocking and deriding a man who washing the dishes is beneath him?
No, there's support for that.
Thank you. That's all I expect. I will answer any stupid, I mean, not stupid questions.
Freudian slip.
Anything your heart desires. Hey, what's going on with the Trump trial? What's going on with Israel-Palestine? What's the best detergent to fabric softener ratio?
Mm.
I can tell you all these things because I do my own laundry and I read. We'll discuss when we get back right after this. There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Ah, yes, and my soundboard is still broken, despite the fact that we have tried so very hard to fix it over the last 5 minutes. I blame nobody but myself, Vern. It's all my fault because I have a curse with technology. It literally short circuits because of my magnetic field. So,
is that what happens?
So the live studio audience is now completely silent because I can't key in to their microphones. I can't play any of my sad music. I can't cue Marvin Gaye to rise from the grave and start singing music again. So because, you know, the Dark Lord Bahamut granted me the power of that through the Steam Deck that we have. So let us just do No Stupid Questions, a fun segment we like to do every day where we answer questions directly from the audience. I like this one, Spike. It says, given the extremists in both parties, which party is crazier? It's on what issue? It's on what issue?
Well put.
Right?
Yep.
So it's not, one is not inherently crazier than the other. I will say, though, that that's just by, oh, how do you measure the election was stolen? Right? that's just, because it's just a bird's beak ahead of insanity, right? When your entire party is wrapped around the finger of a malignant narcissist.
Yeah, it's not to me which one's crazier, which one's more dangerous.
Yeah, there you go. Right. So here's the issue is that, you know, I've never voted Democrat in my life, but I'll tell you, this is my problem. I want gay people to be able to get married. I want trans people to be left alone. I want trans kids to be left alone. I want the state to be out of my cultural business, whatever it might be. So in many ways, Democrats win that award. But at the same time, I don't necessarily want to be taxed into oblivion for
big corporate
contracts. On the flip side of that, though, if you look at what Republicans offer, they often say that we're going to fix government waste, government spending, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they often don't initiate that, largely because those policies are so unpopular when you try to cut social welfare programs, when you try, it is unbelievably unpopular. And then when you have all these draconian abortion laws, that's crazy town, right? So yeah.
I want elections to matter and results to count.
Yeah.
You know, that, to me, that's a pretty stark divide between the two parties on that front.
If it's true that the left hates the state, how do you square up with how they dealt with the pandemic? Okay, let's do a little political theory here. Progressivism is not leftism. Progressivism is neoliberalism. Neoliberalism is the doctrine that we live under in the United States. Donald Trump is a neoliberal. Joe Biden is a neoliberal. Every political actor outside of maybe two are all fall under the neoliberal system. Neoliberalism is this idea that you can regulate markets and therefore regulate behavior through regulation. Ronald Reagan was a neoliberal. Think tariffs,
yep,
trade deals, so on and so forth. A leftist is somebody who believes in a stateless, egalitarian society in which the people own the means of production. That's not Barbara Streisand. That's not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's not any of these. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So
yeah,
when people say like the left or whatever it is, no offense to those people, you are literally proving your ignorance on this topic, which is as easy to solve as a simple Google search. And when people go around and they say leftist, 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 I'm just like, okay, so you don't actually know what you're talking about. He says they seemed like to like the heavy application of rules coming down from the states at that point. Yeah, sure. All the communists out there really enjoyed that super state. I mean, it's just like, please don't bring me these kinds of arguments.
Well, to the last,
please don't do this to me, Laura, because like when I'm put in this position, I try so hard to be nice. And then I see objectively the worst argument I have ever seen when it comes to, quote unquote, leftism. And I'm not even a leftist. And it puts me in the position of having to say, well, simple man, a leftist is somebody who believes in an egalitarian society that is a fundamentally stateless society. This is why they call themselves anarcho-communists. Shall I share more of my $40,000 degree that I didn't pay a cent on? Shall I share more of my political theory degree? Because I can do it all day long. You guys want to talk about Foucault? You guys want to talk about Baudrillard?
Not without your little sounder.
You guys want to talk about Derrida, don't you?
No.
Shall we talk about Derrida? Or mayhap we should talk about, I don't know, Stokely Carmichael? Let's get real big brain with it so we don't waste our time by saying the left wanted X, Y, and Z. It's like, please stop listening to conservative media. I am on my knees begging people to step away from conservative media. It is literally brain rot, mind rot nonsense to say the left, if it's true that the left hates the state, how do you square up with how they dealt with the pandemic? Yeah, there were a lot of social Democrats out there. Please don't bring this to me. It is like so infuriating to see this because it breaks my heart.
Well, I turn back to the answer to the last caller.
I'm upset.
Don't speak to me. Let me help you. which party is crazier? You said it right. It depends upon which issue. You want to talk about the state being heavy in application on the rules coming down? How about reproductive rights?
I'm not even listening.
Which party's crazy about having the rules on reproductive rights? Both parties are crazy to a degree on whatever it... Pick a topic. We'll tell you which one's worse.
I'm in out mode right now.
I know you are.
I'm not in in mode.
That's all good, buddy.
As my ex-wife likes to say.
I'm just hitting my be nice sounder over and over and nothing's
it's not
happening.
Not working. They knew. They knew the system was down.
Oh. Jack, have you seen the prison show on Netflix about conflicts being able to help themselves? I have seen that. It's beautiful. It's a series of...
What's it called? Do you know?
No, I watched it, okay. But it's
not Oz.
No.
It's a great show.
It's basically like convicts going around inside of a prison system and policing themselves and trying to encourage everybody to have good behavior.
Oh, nice.
Does that make sense?
Like, I'm looking for it. It's on Netflix?
It's actually pretty uplifting.
Unlocked? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it's called. All right. Well, we'll take a really quick break and we'll try to get all the sounders working and then I will calm down from my... That's just how triggered I got by that. What are we talking about when we get back? If my computer was working, I would know. Donald Trump!
Yeah, it's going to be the Trump trial.
Donald Trump is in the news for something that he did. I'm not sure what it is. I haven't been paying attention. Something to do with a criminal trial, whatever that means. I don't know. My computer's not working. Supreme Court's going to decide whether Trump is immune from federal prosecution. I can tell you the way that's going to go easily when we get back right after this.